You'll see why we did that in a second. All right, I'm going to put out the Bible verse. Today's message is called Let's Talk. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Oh, where's Carol? Oh, I'm doing it. Okay. All right. Let's read it. I'm going to read it for us, okay? Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and he went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go to Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Okay? That last line right there. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" That's really what I want to talk about today. John chapter 4, the story. This is not even the whole story. You know, I don't usually like to do this when I preach, is like take out just a segment of the story. But I think it's okay, because there's a really important point here that I want to talk about. All right? And the point is this. It's really powerful, actually, to be welcoming and inviting to people. That's very Christ-like, and it's very powerful. You know, that's what Jesus was doing here. You guys know this story. You know, Jesus talks about living water. He talks about true worship. There's a lot of, like, theological stuff that I could talk about, but I'm not going to talk about that. What I want to talk about is just this part of the story, where Jesus walks and sits by this well at this time of day, noon, where it's like the hottest part of the day. So it's the only time that this woman, who's a Samaritan, and the Samaritans were hated by the Jews. There's ethnic implications, there's cultural and religious implications, where there's just hatred, there's not a good relationship. And so she's coming in the hottest part of the day to draw water. And on top of that, you guys may know, and if you don't, I'll tell you right now, she was like a social outcast. A social misfit, an extreme social misfit. I mean, she was an adulterer. She had like several husbands, we find out later. Okay, it's kind of like if you read the Scarlet Letter, you know, she's basically carrying around a scarlet A on her neck. That's how her life is. She's hated by her society. She's probably hated by her own people. All right? She's a woman. There's like gender stuff going on here. Jesus, like, men don't just talk to random women. You know, even today, it's like, you could be a creeper if you do that, right? But Jesus, like, completely transcends all of these things. And he talks to her. And it's not like, "Who are you?" He's like, "Draw me some water. Will you give me a drink?" And you know, to us, it's like, okay, what is that? But you can tell, you might not get the cultural context. You might not have studied like ancient Near Eastern, you know, a culture. You don't have to know that. Just look at her response. She's like, "Whoa, like, why are you talking to me like that? Like, you're being so like inviting and friendly and welcoming." And she says, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman." In her head, she's like, "And you don't even know who I am." But it's crazy because Jesus is like, "I do know who you are." And she says, "How can you ask me for a drink?" And John's like, just in case you don't get what's going on here, just in case, even though every one of his audience probably already knew what's going on, John's like, "For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." There's a clear point there. It's like Jesus talks to this woman who society says he shouldn't talk to. Jesus is relating with this person. He's starting this relationship with somebody who society says he's not supposed to. And I think that's what the church should look like. And that's like my dream and my vision for this church, my hope. You know, I mean, let's be real. I mean, you know, I'm sorry, you know, Christine, but we're pretty homogenous ethnically, right? You know, any non-Koreans in here? Okay, and that's fine. Okay, we're a Korean church. That's fine. But hopefully that can kind of change too, at least in how we, you know, interact with people. That's great. But we are pretty homogenous. But even so, at times I feel like there is these boundaries, these social, cultural boundaries. You know, and I think the church should be about destroying those boundaries, breaking down those walls. Like, I feel like there should be, like, unity that doesn't make sense, you know? Like, multiple generations, not just one age, which we kind of are, but I think that's changing a little bit because some of us are getting a little older and some young people are coming in. But I think it's very tempting to be like, but they're the young people. Man, do you remember when I was a freshman in college? I was a baby. Look at the babies. I can't talk to the babies. It's not what the church should be like. You know, ethnic, cultural, social. You know, I'm going to be honest, guys. Like, you're never tempted to, like, see people as, like, you know, networking opportunities, even in church settings. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in your minds. But I know that I've seen this. I've seen this in my own heart. I'll be honest. And the Bible calls out stuff like this a lot. Some people walk in. Certain types of people walk in. I won't describe them. And for whatever reason, a lot of people are like, hey, hi. Hey, I'm Daniel. Hey, oh, hey, I'm Joe. I'm John. You know, I'm Michael. Hey, I'm Jessica. And it's like, oh, dude, like, our church is super friendly. And I was like, yeah. But another type of person walks in. And, like, they don't exist. And I'm thinking, man, what's going on? Why is there this kind of, like, discrepancy here? Hey, I do that, too. I'm tempted, too. You know, yeah, you guys, like, you know, I'm like, you know, Jin, like, he's not that useful to me. Like, I don't have to talk to him, you know? It's like, no, I can say that because I talk to Jin a lot, actually. Hey, that's in my heart, too. I'm not perfect, but we got to fight that. Because that's not how Jesus is. That's not how Jesus loves us. It's not about preference, you know? It's not about preference. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Guys, we tend to just love people when it's preferable. When it's easy. When it's helpful. When it's beneficial. And isn't that just what we're supposed to do? Isn't that what we're all guilty of? Like, that's just what everyone does. That's not what Jesus does. That's not what the church should look like. And I'm not saying that we're, you know, we're like this bad, messed up church. It's like, it's hard. We all struggle with this. But it should be something on the forefront of our minds that we're trying to overcome, trying to be different. This should be a place that's not about preference. You know, love does not require preference. In fact, I think oftentimes the most powerful displays of love are completely absent of preference. Case in point, Jesus taking the cross for us. God sending his one and only Son, you know, to die on the cross for us. Jesus becoming a man. In Philippians 2 says he humbled himself. And some people say a better translation is he humiliated himself for our sake. And I hope you guys know, reasonable preference that a person should take the cross for people who have betrayed him. But that's the picture of love that God has given to us. It's not about preference. We don't love people because of what they provide or how it feels or how good it is for us. We love them just because we love them. That's how God loves us. I'm going to show you guys this passage right here. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Verse 7 through 8. The Lord did not set his affection on you and choose you because you are more numerous than other peoples. For you are the fewest of all peoples. So it's basically saying, God didn't love us. This is talking about Israel. But this goes for us, okay? God doesn't love us because we provided something for him, because we're good, because we're smart, or we're handsome, or beautiful. That's not why God loves us. Why does God love us? Because God loves us. It's called circular reasoning. It's a terrible argument. The Lord, why does the Lord love you? Because you're something? Because you're better than the other people? No, because he loved you. God loves us because he loves us. That's the picture that we have. That's how God loves us. That's how we're called to love people. We're called to love them because we love them. Because that's how God loved us. You guys know that passage, 1 John, 4:19. We love because He first loved us. Love each other because you love each other. Love each other because God loves you. Okay? Oops. You know, it's not about preference. It's not just about what makes sense. That's what this community, I pray, will look like and continue to look like more and more. People who love each other in a way that doesn't make sense. When society says, you two shouldn't be friends. You're much younger. Or you don't come from the same, background. Or, you're one ethnicity or one race and she's another. Or you make this much money and you're doing these things with your life. You don't even know what you're doing with your life. It should be like, what about that person hurt you before? That person's weird, annoying. You should be fed up by now. That's what society may tell us. I hope that the church would be a community where people say, why do you guys love each other? Why do you guys still love each other? How are you together like that? Isn't it uncomfortable? Isn't it uncomfortable? And we're like, yeah, but that's the love God has for us. And I think there's power in that love. I think it's life-giving. It heals. It transforms. Guys, that's what we're called to do, really. That's what the church is about. It shouldn't just be about not being bad. But it's about showing this radical love that Jesus gave to us and sharing that to the world. That's what being the church is. It's not just like, I don't spend my money a certain way, and I don't say certain words, and I use my weekends for, church. That's not what being a Christian or being a follower of Jesus is. That's part of it, maybe. That should all fall under, ultimately, what we're trying to do. And Jesus said to us, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's about. That's what it's all about. And one really easy way we can do that in this group right here, one way we can start and start moving in that direction is just being more intentional about being friendly with one another, talking to one another. And it's hard. I get it. I know there's a huge list of reasons why it's hard. I know there's history involved. I know people have hurt you. I know people have done things that are disrespectful to you. I know that you're tired and it's just really, really annoying to try to think of stuff to say. I get it. I hate that. I'm guilty. There are times when like, 목사님, like Pastor Lee's like, Daniel, I need to talk to you. I'm like, oh, dang it, all right, Because sometimes it's hard to talk to people. I just want to sit next to Nina and just, I have a million things to talk to her about, or we can just not talk about anything, whatever. It's easy. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. But guys, that's not love. That's not service. Okay, I know it's hard. Just try. I know sometimes like, man, this conversation sucks. But it's like, that's how sometimes you get close to people. You gotta try. When you like somebody, when you're like pursuing a girl or you're interested in a guy, it doesn't matter what they talk about. You're there. Like you hear them like from across the room. Like, oh, it's kind of warm in here. What? What? You want to talk about the weather? We do that when we care. We try. It's awkward. You like someone, you try. You think of anything to talk about. When I first realized I liked Nina, I downloaded this game on my phone that I found that she was playing. Candy Crush. Okay? Candy Pong, I'm sorry. Candy Pong. I downloaded it so I could have a reason to talk to her about something. I was like, hey, oh, you play that too? Oh my gosh, I love Candy Crush. Or Candy Pong, And I'll be like, hey, I beat your score. And she'd be like, I don't care. And I'd be like, oh, I know you care. I know you're mad that I beat your score. You know, you try to like talk about stuff. You think of things. Like, why don't we do that for each other? How beautiful would it be if we did that for people who society says we should never do that for? There's no reason to do that. There's no benefit to us. That's when I think we're being the church. That's when we're being Christ-like. When we're actually like going out of our way for people who we probably don't have any good reason to do that for. That's what I think being a Christian is about. I know it's hard. I'm not good at it. But can we like, I want us to try to do that together. And so, that's why we're sitting in groups. That's why I counted you guys off. And what we're going to do today is we're just going to talk to each other. And that's why the message is called, Let's Talk. Look, I'm done. I'm not going to say anything else. All right? And you guys are happy. Like, yeah, let's leave. No, you can't leave though. All right? We got like 15 minutes or so. 10, 15 minutes. I have some questions I'm going to put up. They seem dumb. I know people are going to complain. Everyone knows my name. Guess what? There are people in here that don't know your name. Okay? Just say your stinking name. Just answer the questions. They get a little bit more meaningful towards the end. Even if you don't get there, it's okay. Just talk to each other. Just talk. So look, this is how we're going to do it. Listen carefully. Each question like is one round. So don't have one person answer all the questions. One question at a time so that everyone has a chance to talk and so that even if you don't finish, everyone's at the same spot and it's not like one person just talked, okay? So Carol's going to play some music so it's like not as awkward.